Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the results of the Mountain States poll from MSUB, a $2.9 million tribal grant, and feral hogs. It's Thursday, October 24th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana filed its final arguments late last week in the complex and controversial lawsuit over the fate of Yellowstone area grizzly bears. Montana Public Radio's Nick Mott reports.
The Department of the Interior removed Endangered Species Act protections for the roughly 700 bears estimated to live in the area in the summer of 2017. Tribes and conservation groups promptly filed suit, and a federal judge in Missoula restored protections for the Bruins last fall. The federal government and states of Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho appealed to the 9th U.S. Circuit Court in San Francisco. That's where the case sits, fueling frustrations for wildlife managers and conservationists alike over the future of the Endangered Species Act.
The ESA isn't supposed to be a permanent parking lot.
That's Bill Shank, an attorney for Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. In the brief filed Friday, Montana argued to remove ESA protections for the bear. Shank says the state has sovereign interests in managing its own wildlife populations and in a grizzly hunt, which is currently blocked.
Hunting being a part of, as a rule, is a part of wildlife management in Montana, as it is for elk, deer, and many other species.
In its initial appeal in May, the federal government conceded it got part of the delisting rule wrong. They said revisions to that rule are already underway. So the appeal is contesting smaller points related to connected bear populations and the science that gets used to understand them. The state and federal governments hope a Ninth Circuit decision will guide how to effectively delist animals in the future.
The more questions we get answered, the better.
But Tim Presso, attorney at Earth Justice, says the lower court's decision was correct and shows the current recovery strategy is too weak and turns grizzly populations into little more than museum pieces.
What they ought to be doing at this point is reassessing whether this framework is the right one.
In particular, he says grizzly populations ought to connect across the landscape before delisting, not after. The Ninth Circuit could take another year or more to make a decision. Meanwhile, turmoil over the ESA continues to boil. Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt visited Montana earlier this month to hear rancher concerns over growing grizzly populations. Last month, U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte introduced federal legislation that would make it easier to remove protections for species as part of a broader suite of bills aimed at weakening the ESA. I'm Nick Mott, Montana Public Radio.
President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria has earned condemnation from Montana's entire congressional delegation. Democratic Senator John Tester told Lee newspapers earlier this month the order to pull troops from Syria's northern border threatens regional and global stability. Republican U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte and Republican Senator Steve Daines, two normally reliable Trump stalwarts, also have their doubts. Daines expressed his concerns during yesterday's Senate Appropriations Committee, where he said the risks of withdrawal outweigh the benefits.
The reduction of American presence in Syria has resulted in the increased influence of Russia and Iran and set the stage for a potential resurgence of ISIS. I think the withdrawal was detrimental to our national security.
Trump has defended his decision to withdraw U.S. troops from northern Syria, saying they're capable of defending themselves from Turkish forces. Trump yesterday lifted sanctions on Turkey after the country agreed to what Trump says is a permanent ceasefire in Syria. Montana State University Billings released the 32nd edition of its political poll yesterday. The poll shows a majority of Montanans and Wyomingites support President Donald Trump and disapprove of Congress. I found out more. The Mountain States poll was conducted from October 7th until the 16th, around the time President Trump informed Congress he would not participate in the impeachment inquiry. According to the poll, 59% of Montana voters and 77% of Wyoming voters do not approve of the impeachment inquiry. Dr. Jason M. Adkins directs the Mountain States poll.
Only 3% approval for this among Republicans. You can flip that among Democrats, 77% approve of the impeachment inquiry. But independents, which are a key demographic in Montana, as it can be a swing state in some cases, only 39% approve of the impeachment inquiry.
The University of Montana's Big Sky poll, released earlier this month, found similar results, with 52% of Montanans opposing the impeachment inquiry. Wednesday's Mountain States poll shows 54% of Montanans and 75% of Wyomingites approve of President Trump's performance in office, with a similar party split.
But you can see there's a clear party split. 90% approve among Republicans, that generally mirrors what you see nationwide, and only a 12% approve among Democrats.
The same day the poll started, the Trump administration withdrew U.S. forces from northern Syria, a decision the House of Representatives condemned by a vote of 354-60. The majority of voters disapprove of Congress in both states.
This isn't surprising. Most people disapprove of Congress. So 66% disapprove and only 21% of Montana voters approve.
The numbers in Wyoming are similar, with 67 disapproving and 17 approving of Congress. The Mountain States poll summarizes responses from a random sample of likely voters across Montana and now Wyoming, which was included for the first time in the 30 years the poll has been conducted. 215 Montana voters and 177 Wyoming voters responded to the poll. The margin of error is 6.7% for Montana and 7.4% for the Wyoming sample. According to an analysis of national polls by the website 538, at the time of the Mountain States poll release, more Americans support impeachment than are against it. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. The U.S. Department of Justice announced it's awarding four tribal governments in Montana a collective $2.9 million to improve public safety efforts. Olivia Rangold reports.
The Northern Cheyenne, the Fort Peck, the Rocky Boys, and the Flathead tribal governments are all getting between $250,000 and $1.7 million in federal grants to build out justice systems and help crime victims. The largest slice is going to the Assiniboine and Sioux tribes in northeast Montana. Rita Weeks, an administrator at the tribal court, helped write the four grants the Fort Peck tribes won. She says the tribes want to use the grant money to develop treatment programs on the reservation.
Right now, there's not too many alternates to putting a person in jail.
There's one treatment center on the reservation, the Spotted Bull Recovery Center in Poplar.
We wait in line for a bed for treatment for people.
Weeks says the grants could go towards creating community-based alternatives to inpatient addiction treatment. One of the grants, a more than $700,000 check from the Bureau of Justice Assistance, will go towards an all-new office for prosecutors, public defenders, and probation officers, according to Weeks.
That was the one I'm so happy we got.
She says the plan is to build a three-sided building with a modern design and 17 offices. The Assiniboine and Sioux are one of 149 tribal governments that received grants through an annual tribal assistance program at the U.S. Department of Justice. Last year, the tribes were awarded about a fifth of what they got this year, about $320,000. Weeks says the tribes are finishing up some paperwork but plan to get started right away. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Rheingold.
Olivia Rheingold is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Corps member. The Mountain States poll released by Montana State University Billings yesterday shows many voters in Montana and Wyoming haven't decided who they'll vote for in statewide races next year. However, as I found out, it highlights a few frontrunners in competitive races. Election season is still a ways off, and the Mountain States poll shows many voters will use that time to decide who to vote for. In the Montana Democratic primary for governor, Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney polled at 19%, and Whitney Williams, who just announced her campaign earlier this month, polled at 11%. Dr. Jason M. Adkins directs the Mountain States poll.
But as you can see, 62% are undecided. Remember, this is a small sample of Democrats, and there's a long way to go in this race.
Republican Greg Gianforte, Montana's current U.S. House representative, has a slight lead in the GOP gubernatorial primary with 33%. However, 32% of Montana Republicans don't know who they'll vote for. The Mountain States poll included Governor Steve Bullock in the Montana Democratic Senate race, and the results surprised Adkins, with Bullock polling at 59% and Helena Mayor Wilmont Collins polling at 1%.
Right now, if Steve Bullock were to enter the race, it seems like he would be the clear favorite based on name recognition.
The majority of Wyoming voters have not decided who to vote for in both the GOP and Democratic primaries for Wyoming's Senate race. The Montana Democratic House primary had the most pronounced frontrunner, with Kathleen Williams polling at 69%. The majority of Republicans are undecided in the GOP House primary, but current state auditor Matt Rosendale leads the pack with 32%. MSUB students from several different classes related to political science and marketing served as telephone surveyors for the poll, which was conducted in the Market Research Lab on campus earlier in October. The Mountain States poll summarizes responses from a random sample of likely voters across Montana and now Wyoming, which was included for the first time in the 30 years the poll has been conducted. 215 Montana voters and 177 Wyoming voters responded to the poll. The margin of error is 6.7% for Montana and 7.4% for the Wyoming sample. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Feral swine threatening to cross the northern border from Saskatchewan and Alberta could cause millions of dollars of crop damage and decimate ecosystems in Montana. State and U.S. agencies say they're ready if that happens. But farmers and ranchers want the U.S. government to pressure Canadian officials to step up their management of the wild pigs before they move south. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports.
50 or so ranchers and farmers gathered a stone's throw from the U.S.-Canadian border last week in Sweetgrass for the first wild pig symposium on the border. Concern is growing that feral pigs from Alberta and Saskatchewan could make their way across the border, bringing with them diseases that could affect livestock and cause millions of dollars in crop damage. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, feral pigs already account for more than $2.5 billion worth of crop and livestock damage across the U.S.
And I thought, you know, we live here on the border. We'll be the first ones to suffer if they come down from Canada. And so
Maggie Nutter is part of the Marias River Livestock Association and organized last week's meeting in Sweetgrass to educate local farmers and ranchers about the issue north of the border. There are confirmed feral pig sightings in Alberta and Saskatchewan within 20 miles of the border, and there have been some false alarms in Montana.
So it became obvious that we needed
Saskatchewan rancher Bob Brickley was one of the speakers at the meeting, held a mile's drive from the Border Customs Office. He's seen the damage feral hogs can bring and knows firsthand just how hard they can be to eradicate. He's part of the Saskatchewan Moose Mountain Wild Boar Eradication Team, made up of ranchers and farmers.
I often joke that I have a master's in wild boar eradication, but the only place that's recognized in the Moose Mountain Park by the pigs we've killed.
Moose Mountain Provincial Park is in eastern Saskatchewan, and the pigs showed up there in the early 90s when the Canadian government was making a nationwide push to diversify the agricultural economy. Ranchers began raising exotic animals like emus and feral pigs from Europe and Asia. But markets for wild pig meat never materialized, and many farmers let their animals go. Feral hogs reproduce quickly, and in just a few years, a dozen loose hogs can turn into hundreds. Brickley and his team began hunting the animals with bolt-action rifles, which proved to be incredibly unsuccessful.
We couldn't find them. We could see their tracks, and their tracks were hardly visible. When they cross, they always travel single file and just looks like one coyote had crossed.
Brickley eventually partnered with researchers at the University of Saskatchewan to eradicate pigs in Moose Mountain Park. His team and researchers now use planes and helicopters equipped with infrared gear to track down groups of feral swine. And they've used GPS collars to track individual pigs, which researchers call the Judas pig, back to their groups. This allows Brickley's team to kill entire groups at a time. Killing just a few will scatter survivors, expanding their territory. Associate Professor Ryan Brooks says feral pigs were eradicated in the park using this technique.
Certainly very, very time-consuming, and as someone asked, very, very expensive as well. So we've done it on small scales to try it. We've tried to bring in the government to try and be involved in this, and that's sort of been a bit of a, what's the play term, show, I guess, is the...
Brooke says individual farmers and universities have taken on this work because there's little interest from the Canadian government in developing a national management plan. So far, he says Alberta is the only province to manage the animals. Alberta officials are in the midst of a 3-year pilot program with hopes to solidify its management practices early next year. MTPR could not reach management officials in Saskatchewan in time for this story, but Canadian researchers like Brooke say there's nothing being done to manage wild boar outside of farmland in the province. Montana State Assistant Veterinarian Tani Szymanski says the threat of feral hogs crossing the border is a serious issue. She says the state legislature passed several laws in 2015 preventing residents from hunting feral pigs, possessing, or transporting them. It also gave the Montana Department of Livestock authority to manage feral swine.
That bill was really a coordinated effort between our office and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. And it was very strategic.
Private landowners and leaseholders can shoot feral swine on their property, but only Department of Livestock and other authorized officials are allowed to kill feral swine throughout the state. Szymanski says the legislature took this approach because it learned from the mistakes of other states that opened up hunting as part of their eradication plans. Once an economy surrounding wild hog hunting is established, like the hogs themselves, that financial incentive is hard to eradicate, and hunters have been known to illegally spread populations. Montana's policies give sheep rancher and Montana Wool Growers Association member Dave McEwen a little bit of comfort on this side of the border. But he and other local ranchers want some kind of organized push on the Canadian government to manage feral swine.
I know from their other predator issues, we'll be moving a lot of tablets before that'll ever happen. And
last week's meeting may be the spark to get the larger pressure campaign going. The Marias River Livestock Association hopes to hold another meeting in the future. The threat of feral hogs moving into Montana is also expected to be discussed during a meeting put on by the Montana Invasive Species Council in Billings later this fall. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.